You're listening to VFN TV highlights at VFNKB.com. Enjoy.
So we're just talking just right now about, you know, understanding that if you're going to move, I mean, if light's going to move, darkness is going to move too, because light actually begins to push back darkness. And so when you're ministering in the kingdom of light and you're shining your light and you're letting your light shine in gross darkness and thick darkness, you know, things are going to respond to you. One of the ways that we've seen that is that, you know, even Paul said, yeah, I warned you day and night with tears for 3 years that wolves would come in among you and from among you. This is Paul's work for 3 years. And he warned with tears, understanding how darkness works. And he was like, they'll come in and devour you even from your own number. And so, you know, so often we let our hair down. We think everything, you don't have to work, you know, pay attention anymore. Everything's totally fine. But if you understand raising sheep in the wilderness, a shepherd is always looking, because the wolf goes around like a, Satan goes around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And so you're constantly looking. But he's like warning for 3 years. You know, he warned with tears that something would try to happen and come in. And so I noticed that over the years, there's like so many different ways the adversary tries to come in, you know, through well, one thing, through woundedness. It's so important to be healed. That if you've been hurt, you know, Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries says, sometimes the difference between a sheep and a wolf is one is wounded and one's not. That we get healed, we get hurt, and then we don't get healed. And the next thing you know, we start preaching our messages out of hurt. We start prophesying out of hurt, or we start praying out of hurt, and everything's kind of angled to that pain or my past experience or that type of thing, versus like, I just need to get healed.
Absolutely.
You know, biblically, historically, in the Old Testament was that if you had a scab, you couldn't be in the priesthood unless you were healed. You got to be healed first. And God came to heal us. Jesus came to heal us and set us free. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, as you may already be aware, you know, a lot of people know me for the prophetic ministry and that, but I do a lot of deliverance and inner healing.
Awesome.
I do deliverance sometimes right in church, during church. Spiritual warfare, deliverance, and inner healing are part of my primary calling, and I think you need to be that if you're prophetic,
right?
Because you're going to be opposing spirits all the time. You're going to be out in the forefront. You're going to be plowing new ground, you know, and anywhere a prophetic voice, a true prophetic voice, a real prophet shows up, Jezebel's going to show up to oppose him.
Right.
And you also have the spirit of religion.
Right.
That you got to deal with if you're looking for a move of God.
Right.
C. Peter Wagner said the number one spirit that opposes you is the spirit of religion.
Yeah.
And try to shut you down.
A religious spirit. They have this knowledge, but they don't know God. I mean, when the Pharisees were looking at God, they called him Beelzebub. They called Jesus Beelzebub. And here they were. They were planned most studied for to know him. Yet fishermen and prostitutes and others recognized him, but they didn't even recognize him. It was a religious spirit was trying to kill him. Eventually, put him on a cross.
Here at the city, here in Pensacola, and I've been a lot of places, different places in the world. This is one of the places where I think there's the most spiritual warfare that I've encountered.
Isn't it crazy?
It is, and I believe that's why the move of the spirit was here, that where good and evil do battle at a high place, at an important place, at a gateway, you know, at the gate to the city, gate to a region or an area. Those high places are where good and evil do battle.
Right.
And this city has a Jezebelic spirit, religious spirit, both that are in the city that are operating real hard. There's a whole lot of things that are trying to bring division within the church community.
Yeah.
It is a difficult place. There's a church on every corner in the city. And sometimes you say, well, you know, I don't have a spirit. I'm a Christian. I can't have a spirit. I'm third generation Pentecostal. I couldn't have a spirit. But, you know, where do you think a religious spirit hangs out?
Right.
Religious spirit ain't going to hang out in the go-go joint.
Right.
Religious spirit's going to hang out in church.
Right.
So anytime you go to church, you're going to be attacked by a religious spirit.
Yeah.
And so you have to constantly not only be able to set other people free. And it ain't just about me getting free, it's about me staying free,
right,
and me continuing to fight.
Right.
The Bible says in Psalm 18 that David, who was the greatest king, the greatest warrior, mm-hmm, the greatest worshiper, was mm-hmm quick to go to the throne and quick to go to battle,
right,
said, he teacheth my hands to war.
Yeah.
He's trying to teach us how to fight today.
Right.
Try to teach us to have the understanding of the weapons of warfare.
Right.
Because our battles and our enemy is not not individuals, not people.
Right.
This is powers and principalities.
Right.
There's a war that's going on spiritually all around us.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to learn how to fight. We need to know what the weapons of warfare are. I can't fight in the carnal.
Right.
I can't fight in the natural. I'm going to lose.
Right.
I have to be able to fight in the spirit.
Right.
You know, I happen to do a little fighting, and my dad was a boxer, and mm-hmm, and on the other side, you know, I fought some.
Right.
But this is a whole different kind of fighting.
Oh, yeah, it is.
And you have to learn how to fight,
right,
in the spirit. You need to learn how to fight with spiritual weapons and how to use them, how to apply them, how to do battle with them. What is your authority for
right
real? And,
yes.
And how do you apply that?
Yeah.
And how do you apply it to the spiritual battles that are going on in the air?
Right.
Because there's spiritual battles going on all around us. I don't believe our battles are flesh and blood, but I know that spirits operate through people.
Because they have to have authority.
Right.
To operate, and God's given you authority, so somebody has to, and there's enough people willing to surrender their authority over through deception or reality or wanting it, but they have to actually tap into human authority to operate in this earth, right?
And in addition to doing a lot of deliverance, one-on-one, mm-hmm, and corporate, and I do conferences where I do open deliverance and conferences. I don't know if you've ever seen that in operation. It gets pretty dramatic.
I have.
And
are you worried about that when it goes and leaves that person, that it goes and finds another place in that conference?
We do work before and after,
okay,
and during, doing spiritual warfare, cleaning the place,
okay,
and preparing everything.
Because when the spirit leaves a man,
mm-hmm,
it goes and looks for another man, or another person, another place to dwell, you know?
And we do a lot of battle, a lot of warfare, and I think that most prophetic voices have an understanding of spiritual warfare. If you
right
don't, you're not going to last very long.
Right, right.
Because, I mean, it's a battle, and there's yeah a war that's going
your
on.
Your first assistant will be Jezebel coming to help you out.
Right, right. Yeah. In addition to deliverance,
yeah,
I also do a lot of inner healing. Mama Hug
oh, yeah,
is in our congregation,
Mama Hug, yeah.
Kelty. Patty Thorpe mm-hmm Wallace, who mm-hmm was one of Mama Hug's disciples,
uh-huh,
is now the vice president of Eagle Worldwide and runs Eagle
yeah
Worldwide Canada operations.
Wow.
The vice president
beautiful
of operations.
Yeah.
A powerful voice of inner healing.
Mm-hmm.
When I first went there, when I first went to Canada, I was really just about deliverance. Let's get rid of these
right
things and boop, boop, boop. And then I saw that a lot of the people, they could maintain their deliverance better once they received inner healing.
Right.
And one of my best friends in ministry over the years has been Bill Suddeth, who's
oh,
the
yeah,
head of
Bill
the
Suddeth,
International
yeah
Society of Deliverance Ministers.
Right.
I met him at mm-hmm Brownsville
yeah
and at the Brownsville Revival School of Ministry.
Right.
And him and I have been walking together for 20-something years.
Beautiful.
He's a powerful man of God. He took over the ministry for C. Peter Wagner and his wife.
Okay.
Called the International Society of Deliverance Ministers.
Okay.
So we minister together in open conferences, mm-hmm, and he comes. And I also do personal individual ministry. Most of that I do on an individual basis are leaders and mm-hmm pastors and their
mm-hmm
families.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because, you know, when you're on the front line,
yeah,
you're going to get hit.
Right.
And we all need one another for a reason and a purpose.
Right.
And,
right,
and, you know, the Lord, not only did he save me, but he delivered me.
Right.
And delivered me sovereignly in a very demonstrative way.
Mm-hmm.
And demonstrated for me the power of deliverance. And
mm-hmm
and I've been doing deliverance for a long, long time. I appreciate the ministry of deliverance
right
and the purpose of it.
These
raise
signs
up
will
deliverance
follow,
ministers.
Jesus said, these signs will follow those who believe. And so many people left the reality that we can be delivered from that which hinders us, that which oppresses us, that which deceives us. And they try to walk their whole life out in this constant battle, not knowing that God could deliver them from that. Right?
20-25% of the ministry of Christ in the earth was
deliverance. Yeah,
it's part of his mandate in Isaiah and part of the commission that he gave us in Mark chapter 16:15-20.
The Lord's Prayer, deliver me
oh
from the evil one.
And
right?
we need.
Right.
And you know what? We're sitting in the back room at a board meeting, sitting at some religious conference or whatever, trying to figure out whether or not a Christian can have a demon. You know what? Right. A Christian can have whatever they want.
Right.
In the meantime, while we're trying to argue and debate a religious right. point, you know, the church is sitting there in bondage.
Right.
They're sitting there in hopelessness and depression, sadness, right. sorrow, division.
Right.
You know, let's get to work. Let's
right.
let's stop the talk and stop the
right.
nonsense.
Right.
It's happening right before your eyes.
Well, that's what's going on is all the lies the demonic realm is telling believers,
sure.
and they don't understand. It's not them thinking that; it's the oppression in their life. They're literally it's like first person attack. You know, Satan uses the word I and me. And shifts himself into the narrative of your own thoughts. And he says, supposed to take every thought captive, make it obedient to Christ, shield of faith, extinguish all the fiery darts. But people don't understand that there is two things going on. Ephesians 6:12 tells us we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness. It's always going to happen. Even with Jesus, Satan left him for a more opportune time. You know, and I think we've been trying to fight a battle, even Galatia was, they started free and believing and following God, and they ended up in works of the flesh. Well, he said, who bewitched you? Who cut in you? You were running a good race.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had to bring in deliverance, really a problem, to get free from everything they turned. They were right when they started, and somebody cut in on them and started telling you need to do this, and you need to do this, and this religious thing came in, and it cut in on them. That's where God talks about the works of the flesh versus the works of the spirit. And maybe the American church has we've gotten to a place where we think we got everything figured out and now we're just doing it versus where we started and believing.
It's the most dangerous place you can be.
It's amazing. Yeah.
When you figure and you think you got to figure it all out.
Yeah.
You know, I see it in America. Mm-hmm. I see it in Canada. I see it in nations of the world.
Mm-hmm.
I do deliverance wherever I go. And I believe that it's a primary call in our time and season. It's an end time ministry,
mm-hmm.
and we need to get about the work of the ministry and the work of Christ in the present day. And you know, there's going to be a great harvest that's coming.
Right.
And in the midst of that, people are going to come in with all kind of problems,
right.
situations, circumstances.
Right.
And they may say a nice little pretty little prayer, and they may even really come to the Lord legitimately.
Right.
But they're going to still need to get cleaned up. A lot of demonic spirits are going to have to come out.
Right.
Somebody's going to have to minister to them.
Right.
And in the meantime, we need to be training up, raising, equipping, empowering
right.
deliverance ministers and inner mm-hmm. healing ministers.
Right.
And I've raised up a lot of them, teams in every one of our churches. Right. Joanna Adams,
mm-hmm.
Who is with the ISDM, but mm-hmm. is also a pastor of our church.
Right.
Called Eagle's Nest Fellowship in
mm-hmm.
Ancaster,
mm-hmm.
and she's written books about it, and she moves in deliverance, and she coordinates her teams in the different churches and in the region,
right.
and people come from all other places to get
right.
deliverance from the teams that we've raised up,
right.
because so many places
right.
don't believe in it,
right.
they don't talk about it,
right.
Some of these places don't even think there's a hell, let alone the devil,
right?
Right, and because of our ignorance,
yeah.
the people are destroyed. And
yeah.
if there's anywhere that scripture is true,
mm-hmm.
it's in the ministry of deliverance.
Mm.
And in the spiritual warfare in the demonic realms and
right.
not knowing how to fight, not knowing how to do battle.
Right. Right.
All of these things are very important aspects because now's the time of war and roses.
Right.
It's
talk about that. Your book is War and Roses, right?
Yeah.
And you can get this book. You're seeing it on the screen right now. Tell us about this.
The book... The Lord birthed that in the midst of a great season of war and battle that was going on in me, in a season of adversity.
Mm-hmm.
And it talks about the time being now and the fights that are going on and all the conflicting things that are going on in the world,
mm-hmm.
you know, in the political arena, in the times and the seasons and not being able to discern them and see them,
right.
what still has to happen. People started sending me end time prophecy books
mm-hmm.
that they weren't rooted at all in the Word of God. And,
right.
and people need to hear what still needs to happen in mm-hmm. order for this to happen. And what's the timetable? What's
right.
the season of God? I believe that he's raising up the sons of Issachar right now.
Yes.
And they're going to be the leaders in
yeah.
our generation.
Ooh.
You know, the sons of Issachar knew what it was, what the time and the season was.
Yeah.
And knew what it was that Israel was supposed to do.
Right.
And this is the new breed of leader that's coming over the hill.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be prophetic in knowing not just how to prophesy, but how to do battle, how to do war, which right. season is it in the kingdom of God, right. what things still need to happen and what's on the horizon.
Right.
We're in the midst of chaos and anarchy all over yeah. the earth.
Right.
There's a battle that's raging, mm-hmm. and in the midst of that, God's going to make a path forward.
Right.
But we're going to have to know the timing of God, the solutions of God, the moment in God, mm-hmm. and we're going to have people who are walking on the prophetic edge.
Right.
We lost the prophetic side of the church for many years,
right.
and we were pastors and teachers, but and they were okay. Every now and then we could deal with an evangelist unless right. they got too radical.
Right.
But now when you come down to prophets and apostles, that's right. a whole different story.
Right.
And most of the church still doesn't believe that.
Right.
And you know what we need is that prophetic voice that's mm-hmm. the eyes and the heart and the voice of the
Lord.
The
government and the prophetic working together.
Yeah, yeah. Because if the prophetic is the visionary mm-hmm. part and portion you know, of the body of Christ, mm-hmm. it was like the blind leading the blind without the prophetic right. in the church.
Right.
No wonder they're going to uh-huh. fall in a hole.
Right. Uh-huh.
We need to be in that timing, in that moment, in that season.
Well, you know, some of the things that we're seeing is when we gather together, the church, when we gather together, we were supposed to gather together in love and honoring God and spending together, something spiritual about eating together and just spending this time together, that we've seen God do some pretty powerful things without us, even the Holy Spirit doing things. That one example, we were gathered together in a house, and everybody came over for a gathering, and we're having meals and we're eating together, and people are just, you know, decompressing from what happened in the weeks or whatever, just loving everybody. Well, somebody came as a leader in a local well-known traditional church that came over on that particular gathering, and immediately just started talking about things like things we were doing wrong, things that wasn't right, you know. And we're just the church. It didn't get something to eat. Oh, great, we ate together, you know. And then we actually went over and began to worship God, you know. No hype, no extra whatever, no drummer. We begin to worship God, and the Holy Spirit manifests Himself for us. And you know, we have music playing, and He manifests Himself. The glory of God is so strong that this leader in this local traditional church begins to cry out, "I'm a sinner! I'm a sinner! I'm a sinner!" And several men had to go and lead that man to the Lord right there in the presence of the power of God.
Praise the Lord.
When we function as the church, the Holy Spirit shows up and everything happens. Another particular man, he's watching VFN Family TV that we have, we're broadcasting, and God's showing us in the early days how God was going to use it and anoint it. And he was kind of half asleep, and he was living with his girlfriend at that particular time. And I'm talking to him about, you know, specifically about God, and I came down, I said, and I pointed right at the camera, I said, "In the name of Jesus," and the Holy Spirit took the finger of God and shoved it right into his gut. He's like, whoop, he shot up, right? And gave his life to the Lord, married his girlfriend, and they're married to this day. The power of God. Another particular man, he didn't want to be. Somebody brought him to the same kind of situation. He didn't want to be there. You know how people think they're doing a favor. Like, I just brought the demoniac who doesn't want to get delivered to the gathering, right? And so he was, you know, we ate together. We'd prayed. Now we're gonna watch this message coming from VFN Family too. That's what we do inside of Vine Fellowship Network, right? And so it came time for this message. And he fell asleep. He fell asleep like this. His head's hanging back on this big chair. People were sitting on the side of him and all that. And so he's asleep. So he had the power. So he's not connected to what's going on physically, but the spirit was on him. I was talking about empty houses, open doors, and how that, you know, Satan can come back and be seven times worse. He get delivered. And so right there on television, I say, "In the name of Jesus, come out." And he comes from a dead sleep. He's like this. He goes, "Oh!" And he gets delivered right there.
Amen.
And the lady sitting beside, she slid all the way across. She was like, "Oh my gosh."
Amen.
That's how we're supposed to be. That's the normal thing we're supposed to be as the church, right? But it seems like we start getting traditional, and we start getting these things. We lose all those attributes of just embracing the Holy Spirit, loving each other, and watching. Another particular guy comes in, literally comes in to bring harm to one of the members of the church. Was coming in there to destroy this particular person. Came a long ways to do it. They came and they ate. They came and we began to worship. As soon as we began to worship, he could not even stand in the presence. So he literally began to just, that thing that was on him was taking him and saying, "You cannot be here." And literally God ran him off and he would even come nowhere near that place again. And this big strong man, and he would stand at a distance and talk from a distance, like, "Oh, okay, yeah," and he wouldn't come near him because the fear of God was on him for coming anywhere near the church. Well, guess what? Today, he's a believer in love of God. Isn't that awesome?
I was in a church in Rochester preaching. We preached out on the beach in Ontario Beach in Rochester and did an outreach there. And then we went to an outreach center in downtown,
right,
run by Elam Fellowship. Then I'm in this church, and I'm preaching in the church for 2 days. And while I'm in the church the first night, I get a word of knowledge. Mm-hmm. That there's somebody that I said, you have this pain in your shoulder, and it's going down almost like a little snake right down your left shoulder. And this guy comes down and starts coming down the aisle, and as he comes down the aisle, I said, "Well, I bind that in Jesus' name."
Right.
And he fell down to the ground, and I began to cast spirits out.
Right, right.
You know, because he was manifesting and making like a snake on the floor.
Right,
I cast all these spirits out, and then in the meantime, now the service kind of goes in a completely different direction, obviously.
Right.
And I'm up in the front and having an altar call, and a bunch of people get saved because of what they just saw.
Right, right.
And this guy goes back wherever he went. Actually, was the sound man.
Uh-huh.
And
he was the what?
He was the sound man.
Say that again?
He was the sound man.
So he's working in
so
there.
So that night, now we're up in front, and I'm praying for people, and this lady came in a walker.
Mm-hmm.
And now she starts to come up toward the front. And I get ready to pray for her, and I lift my hand, and she comes out from the walker. Now she's on the ground, and she's clawing at me, and she's making all these animal sounds. And I just keep backing up, and I'm binding spirits and casting them out.
Right.
And the lady had all her knuckles and all in her hands were all bent up.
Right.
And she had just a lot of issues.
Right.
And she ended up getting up out of there and walking out of the place with the walker. But she was trying to claw at me and things.
Oh, yeah.
The next night, the guy who was in the sound booth comes down. He says, "I want to give you my testimony."
Right.
So I said, "Okay," and I hand the microphone. And he said, "Well, I'm the assistant pastor in this church.
Right.
I was doing sound last night, and you guys saw what happened." Mm-hmm. He said, "I've been operating a Jezebelic spirit, trying to bypass the authority of my pastor and run this church." And he said, "That spirit got cast out of me last
Praise
night."
Praise God!
And I'm like, brand new person. Woo. Right, and the other lady got up and testified. But sometimes I'll be preaching about something completely different, and someone will manifest where they're at.
Right,
and sometimes people say, "Why don't we see much of that in North America? We see it in other places." And
we don't come out
until the fire gets hot.
Oh, true.
We don't have enough fire in the church to rattle the snake out.
Right.
And what we need to do is get the fire around.
Right.
You get the fire around, them things are going to manifest.
Yeah.
They don't want to be revealed in the light of God, and the power of the light of God will actually dispel that darkness and command that spirit to manifest. Once that light comes into the meeting and the power of the light of God, like in the book that I just wrote, we need to not just settle for the presence, but the power of his presence.
Right.
And we need to have the power of the light, the power of the presence, the power of the glory.
He'll put up his light, his power, his presence, his glory. That's what you're talking about right now.
I'm talking about the presence and the power of God making itself manifest and how we get it and how we use it.
The results of all this, by the way, because you're making it, that people get free. We're not what we're being attacked with. So you're saying that thing that's been oppressing them for years gets dealt with by the power in the name of Jesus Christ, the blood of Christ, and they're set free.
The presence of God.
Oof.
And just amazing things happening in the power and the presence of God.
Yeah.
People get healed in the presence of God.
Yeah.
People get delivered and set free.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why we need the power of God.
Right.
Sometimes we're afraid, even in a charismatic Pentecostal community, well, maybe nobody's going to receive it, the power of God. Maybe it's going to push them away.
Right.
You know what? The power of God is what attracted my attention in his presence.
Right.
His power, I remember when I saw the people, the young people manifesting and shaking and right. at Brownsville.
Right.
I saw the lady whose head shook.
Right.
It got my attention. Nobody right. could shake their head like that for 2.5-3
right.
hours
right.
And be okay
right. Right.
unless it was God.
Right.
The signs and the wonders and the miracles and yeah. the manifestations, mm-hmm. we need to get the glory and the power of God together.
Right.
The power of God to set the captive free.
Right.
The power of God to heal. The power of God to really save.
That's why Jesus came.
Yes.
That's why he came. And yeah. you talk about it. That I found out, you know, in my history and a lot of our histories is that we're too nice to second heaven. We're too nice we're so worried about offending someone. Well, even when the vision that Rick Joyner had, I'm on Rick Joyner today for I don't know why, but he's God showed him the spiritual realm and that, you know, the things are on you, they're hanging over you, vultures of depression. And when he would go in this vision, he would literally take arrows of truth and he would fire at the demon to basically get the person delivered. The person would think you're talking about them. And that you're you can't try to deliver someone. They're thinking you're talking about me. You know, we're talking about what you're struggling with. We're talking about you're not what you're being attacked with. A lot of people right now probably think right now as we're talking that you're probably thinking that you are what you're being attacked with. Jesus loves you. Jesus came and died and paid the price for you to set you free. You are not that thing you're struggling with. You can be delivered in the name of Jesus, and that's what Russ is talking. That's what we're talking about. And just getting in, and listen, if you're in a place that doesn't believe in deliverance, you need to deliver yourself from the place that says you don't believe in deliverance because Satan comes back again and again and again.
It's in that darkness, a lack of true revelation and
right.
understanding
right.
that those spirits continue to manifest.
That's how we win. We yes. win if we get understand we have to be delivered
yes.
from the Lord's prayer is deliver me from the evil one, right?
No doubt.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the VFN TV and the daily radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNKB.com. And don't forget about our VFN KB app. No matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. Connect and sign up for the next webinar or attend our next summit at VFNKB.com. VFN TV and the daily radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.